time for your Saturday morning coffee with Reese Boyd. So wake me up when it's all over. Reese Boyd is on right now. Talk 94.5.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Saturday Morning Coffee, the Reese Boyd Radio Hour, Saturday, April 27, 707 on your Saturday morning. Thanks for joining us here on The Big Show. It is great to be back in the studio with you. Been out for a couple of weeks, was on vacation, had a couple of other details of life get in the way, but it's great to be back with you here on this Saturday morning. It's a great day along the Grand Strand. Hope you guys will get out and enjoy it here at Saturday Morning Coffee. As you guys already know, I am Reese Boyd, your host, local attorney here in town, here to guide you through this hour of discussion of all the craziness happening in the world today. So much going on around us that is just insane. It's hard to keep up with, folks. It's hard to even get your head around it. But wow. For times such as these, we're here for a reason, and we gotta stand up for what we know to be truth, and defend it, and stick to our guns. Literally, a lot going on at Saturday Morning Coffee. We invite you to sit down, pour yourself a cup of your favorite coffee, join us as we talk about the news, current events. As I just said, everything happening in this crazy world. Here at Saturday Morning Coffee, we're all about a few things: limited government, lower taxes, all the things that mean more freedom for you, me. All of us who are we the people, think about all the things happening in the world around you today, folks, and how many of them threaten your freedom. There's a long, long list, and we've got a country to save. It starts right here in the studio, right there, wherever you are listening to the sound of my voice. So let's get to it. Joined here in the studio by a special guest producer this morning. Good morning, Lou.
Good morning, Reese.
How you doing this morning?
I can't complain. It's a beautiful day.
Yeah, beautiful day. Dr. Glenn Dye out, not feeling particularly well. Yeah. And so we'll excuse him, give him a doctor's pass today. But you got any coffee over there this morning?
I do, actually.
What's your coffee of choice?
I've been drinking Chock Full of Nuts, the old standby.
Chock Full of Nuts.
Yeah, I got to get some better coffee. What do you have?
I got to bring you some of our. We got a little relationship with One Nation Coffee, and so they send us some coffee from time to time to give away. Right now, I'm actually drinking some One Nation, some Reveille Blend. So it's my favorite. That's my favorite blend.
I will have to try that.
Yeah, I'll have to get you some. I'll get you some. We invite our listeners to check it out, onenationcoffee.com. And you got a Saturday Morning Coffee promo code. That'll get you 10% off. And One Nation Coffee is great because whatever they sell, a portion goes to benefit veterans and first responders. So we've had an ongoing relationship with them for a while. We love One Nation Coffee. It's great stuff. They've got the One Nation Foundation, and they do a lot of great work benefiting first responders, families, veterans, their families. It's a great company. We enjoy working with them. So yeah, that's great, and it's great to have you with us. Glad you could join us here this morning for Saturday Morning Coffee.
I'm gonna have to buy some of that coffee.
Yeah, I've gotten to know you. You're a musician. You've caused me to aspire to up my game a little bit.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, on the piano. And, you know, it's probably, I don't even want to say how long it's been since I had a piano lesson, Lou. Well, so I'm probably not going to be a model pupil.
Oh, I'm sure you'll do great. Everybody says that.
Yeah, for those of you who, we never even talked about this, I do occasionally play the piano at my church. And so, you know, it'll be fun to sit down with you and tickle the ivories a little bit.
I think that's going to be something we have to plan real soon.
Yeah, we'll do that. A lot going on, folks. A lot to talk about. But thanks, Lou, for joining us here on the Saturday Morning Coffee today. And we invite you guys to send us your comments. We got a lot of mail in the mailbag. You can always text the show, 843-903-2945 on the text line. Excuse me, that's the dial-in line. That's 843-798-8255 is the text number here at the studio. At Reese Boyd is the Twitter handle for Saturday Morning Coffee. The email address, the X handle for the show. The email address for the show, as always, reeseboydsmc@gmail.com. reeseboydsmc@gmail.com. A lot of interesting mail that we've gotten this week since we've last been in the studio. And often you guys dial us over at the office. Feel free to dial us at the office anytime during normal business hours. And that's 843-839-9800. Love to hear from you on your show tips, topic suggestions, questions, anything you have for us. We always enjoy hearing from our Saturday Morning Coffee listeners. Got a great show coming up for you today. There is so much going on. Lou, how do you feel about our Speaker of the House? You've been following?
Not lately.
Not lately. Not lately. Got a lot to talk about with our Speaker of the House. Very disappointed, to put it mildly, by what's going on with the Speaker. You know, a lot of hope we all had for the Speaker when he was ascended to the post, and we had very high hopes. I said, wow, finally, we got a real conservative that we can work with in the Speaker's office. And man, what just a flabbergasting sort of development in recent months to see how that has just come apart. And it's been really disappointing. But we've got actually, I was at a meeting this week wasn't really a seminar. I guess it was more of a meeting. It was a Christian leader was speaking, sort of one of those political / religious, you know, social groups that, you know, host these events. And one of the, you know, thought leaders in the on the right was addressing the crowd. And he said, you know, we don't need to go after Speaker Johnson. That's a fool's errand. You know, that's a distraction. We're being baited into fighting amongst ourselves. And I thought to myself, you know, that's where I part with some of the people who typically I agree with on our side of the aisle. I mean, we have to call these things out for what they are, Lou. We have to speak truth, you know. Yeah. And when people make mistakes, we got to hold them accountable. And I'm not, and honestly, I'm not even really sure what's going on with the Speaker right now. It's just really hard to figure out. But it's not what we want, right? And it's not what we expected, and it's not what we thought we were getting. So, you know, a lot to sort out there. Not really sure what we've got with Speaker Johnson. But we got to figure that out. And I will say this: we have to call it out for what it is. Nobody's perfect. You're never going to find a politician that's going to vote the way you want them to vote 100% of the time. Everybody makes mistakes. You know, I mean, it's amazing, as amazing as that sounds. I make mistakes. It's universal. None of us are immune from it. We're all going to make mistakes. So you're going to have people that will occasionally vote in ways that you don't want them to vote, but you've got to look at the total picture. But in recent weeks, last couple of months, with some of the things that the Speaker has said, you really have to wonder, okay, what is he really all about? What's driving the bus there? So that's an interesting thing that we got to talk about. We got to talk about what's going on on these college campuses this week. Lou, it's not real clear to me. Is this really organic? Is this really grassroots, or is it AstroTurf? What's driving these kids to get out and do these things? But, you know, there used to be, Lou, when we were kids, you probably remember this. You'd see pickup trucks driving around with bumper stickers on the back that said America. Love it or leave it.
Yeah.
Love it or leave it. Mm-hmm. And that's the answer. You know, if you don't love America, we've got too many kids that have come here on student visas, and we're paying a lot of money for these kids to come to America. They're getting scholarships. And I'm not saying they're all getting a completely free ride. I don't know the details and the ins and outs of every individual who comes in here from wherever to go to school. But there are too many, we are paying for too many kids to come to this country to get a first-rate education, Lou, when they hate America.
Yeah, got to send them back.
I'm not interested in paying for you to come here and to learn all the things that you need to know to get a top-flight job in tech or academia or wherever. Meanwhile, you're spewing all this this vile nonsense that these pro-Hamas protesters are spewing is ridiculous, and it's beyond the pale. And look, if you don't love America, if you hate America, if you think we're evil for supporting human decency, for defending life, for defending the rights of children not to be raped in their homes in the kibbutzes on October in the October attacks from Hamas, if you think that's wrong, and if we're in the wrong for defending Israel in this instance, you don't share our values. And it's like I'm kind of at the baseline where if you don't love America, just go home. Just be gone. So we'll be talking about that a little bit. And we've also got a great guest coming up today, Wendy Dameron with Palmetto Promise, going to be talking to us about education savings accounts and the efforts from Palmetto Promise to bring school choice to South Carolina. We've got a bill that's been passed last year. It's already been challenged. So we got a lot to talk about in going on in the world and here in South Carolina today, here on Saturday Morning Coffee. Hope you guys will stick with us. A lot more to come on the show, so stick with us. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors. I'm Reese Boyd. Guest producer Lou with us today. Stick with us. We'll be right back with more Saturday Morning Coffee.
Well, there was Jesus.
There was Jesus.
In the way, in the searching, in the healing of my heart. Like a blessing buried in broken pieces.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Saturday Morning Coffee, the Reese Boyd Radio Hour. Thanks for joining us here on this, your Saturday morning, Saturday, April 27th. Thanks for joining us here on the big show. As promised, we got a very special guest to join us on the air this morning. You know, Lou, you're not here every Saturday. You're standing in for Glenn today. But one of the things we often talk about on this show is school choice. Education choice, in my opinion, is the civil rights issue of our time. It's the battleground for providing opportunity and upward mobility to those who are born into poverty or lower social classes, conditions. And so I've always thought that the way we fix education is bring competition to it. And there are a lot of people out there who are fighting that fight. Charter schools, we've got all kinds of things happening and have been happening in education to break the monopoly of the public schools. You know, you look around. And we were talking before the break. You look around and you see these things happening on our college campuses, and you see these crazy ideas, and you see these polls where people have these incredibly un-American values, and you think, where did these things come from? Where did the kids who want to burn down Columbia University because they despise the fact that we're defending Israel from Hamas, which is a terrorist organization? You think, where did people who think this way come from? And they didn't. They're not all the product of American public schools, but by and large, many of the problems that we face in society, we face, in my opinion, because education over the last two or three generations has failed. We've failed to educate children the way that, and so now you see lots of organizations, conservative organizations, getting into education. Colleges at the college level, at the second, so education is the battleground for the future, folks. So school choice is incredibly important, and it's part of the solution, a big part of our solution as a nation, if we can get there, is fixing education. And so happy to be joined today by Wendy Dameron. Wendy is president of Palmetto Promise. Y'all may not know about Palmetto Promise. We've had Palmetto Promise folks. I think Wendy's been on the show before. But Palmetto Promise exists to promote policy solutions to advance a free and flourishing South Carolina where every individual has the opportunity to reach their full God-given potential. So we're pleased to be joined by Wendy Dameron this morning here on Saturday Morning Coffee. Wendy, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. I am so excited to be here, and I just couldn't agree more with everything you were saying about the need for school choice in South Carolina. So Palmetto yes. Promise has been working formerly. The former president, by the way, is someone everyone probably knows, and that's our current superintendent of education, Ellen Weaver, was in my seat. I have big shoes to fill on yes. that front, and under her for about almost a decade, we've been working to get ESAs here in South Carolina. So we are really excited that we've started very small, but we've started climbing that ladder, and we have potential to go to Universal here to catch up to some of the other states in the country who are already at Universal and are seeing actually incredible outcomes from that. Arizona, Florida, so many states have already done this. We're behind, but we mm-hmm. can catch up if the legislature will take it on as a priority.
Yeah. Wendy, let me ask you this. For folks who may not understand, when you say ESA, what are you referring to? What is an ESA?
Oh, absolutely. An ESA is that's short for an education scholarship account. It is a bill that passed in 2023 in South Carolina, which allows for the state portion of funding. So just to clarify, each child in South Carolina, there's about $15,000 attached to each child when it comes to education, and that's comprised of local, state, and federal money. Now, the ESA scholarship provides for $6,000 of state money to follow the child to the educational institution of their choice. And it could be a private school. It could be a combination of tutors and therapies and things like that. And the money could also be spent on things such as transportation, books, a computer, anything that you may need to get the right education for your child. So the rest of the money, the state money, the federal money, actually stays in the district for which the child lives. And so basically those schools are getting money for a child that they're not responsible for educating. So if you hear someone saying, oh, we're defunding public education, that's just not true.
Not true.
So it allows the money goes into an account, and then the parent directs the money to an educational opportunity. And those education providers have to register with the state of South Carolina. They cannot just make something up out of the blue and say, we're going to Joe Blow's school. You know, it has to be an actual school or tutor or an established education provider that has been vetted by the state in order to receive the funds.
And let me ask you this. What are the requirements? Can anybody sign up for an ESA? What are the requirements to participate in the program?
Well, the way the current bill is written, you have to be, for this year, this fall coming up, you have to be at 200% of poverty or below, which is roughly $60,000 for a family of four. You cannot currently be in a private school, even if you fall below that income level. And you also cannot be a homeschooler. So you basically, what I'm saying is you have to be currently in public school to be eligible for the program. And you have to have registered between January 15th and March 15th, 2024. For this fall. So the window has closed already on the applications. And you have to make sure that you fill out an application. You have to prove your income level, and there is a limit of only 5,000 applications. So we just went through this process of letting families know the program is there, and also letting education providers know the program is there. And we sent out 100,000 mailers to low income families. We did emails, text messages, radio ads. I mean, we did everything we could to get the word out. We ended up getting 7,900 applications for the program, and the Department of Education is going to weed through all those applications, make sure that those who have applied are eligible, and then anyone who applied, even if they're eligible, over that 5,000 number is just out of luck. They don't get to participate.
So if we have 5,500, I'm just pulling a number out of the air, but if we have 5,500 applications that are determined to be legally eligible and they were submitted timely, how do they figure out is there going to be a lottery, or how do you know how they'll make the choice?
It will just be first come, first serve.
Oh, so whoever filed first.
Correct.
Oh, wow. Well, 5,000 children across the state of South Carolina, certainly that's a step in the right direction, but obviously that's not going to transform the world overnight. That number does increase, does it not, over the second and third years of the program?
Yes. In the current law, next year, there'll be another window that will open January 15th to March 15th, 2025, where we can have 10,000 scholarships available. Now, we're going to assume that, roughly 5,000, most of the people that took advantage of the scholarship this year will reapply, and of course they will be given the first right to reapply, because, we want to keep those, once families have moved their child over to a new learning environment, we want to make sure that they feel assured that their child will be able to stay there. So then we'll have roughly 5,000 more applicants that will have an opportunity to take advantage of the program. The income level goes up to about 300% of poverty. At that point, we're talking about $90,000 for a family of four. All the other requirements are the same. You must be currently attending a public school to apply. So we'll go through the process, and again, the window closes March 15th. If you don't apply by that window, you're out of luck.
That'll be next year.
That'll be next year. Yeah. And then in year three, it goes up to 15,000 available slots, and then 400% of poverty level, which is about $120,000 for a family of four, which is pretty good. I mean, that makes most of the families in South Carolina eligible. Unfortunately, there's still, at that point, only still 15,000 slots available. But to put that in perspective, we have about 800,000 school-age children in South Carolina. So that barely scratches the surface of the families that may be looking for a better opportunity for their children.
Yeah. I had some more questions I wanted to ask you, Wendy, but we've got to go to a break. Can I let you hold with us through a break, and we'll come back and talk about this a little more? Okay, folks, we are talking to Wendy Dameron with Palmetto Promise, and we're talking about education savings accounts and how they can be used to help children achieve the educational success that that every child richly deserves. We'll continue the discussion after the break. Stick with us. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors with more Saturday Morning Coffee. I'm Reese Boyd. Do not leave town. We'll be right back.
Gone and I don't know why she let out this morning.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake, birds and snakes, an airplane. Lenny Bruce is not afraid. I have a hurricane. Listen to yourself. Churn world, serve its own needs. Dummy, serve your own needs. Feed it up an ox, speak grunt. No strength. The ladder starts to clatter with fear. Bite down.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Saturday Morning Coffee, the Reese Boyd Radio Hour. We are talking with Wendy Dameron this morning. Wendy is with Palmetto Promise Institute. She is talking to us about education savings accounts. Wendy, thank you so much for sharing your Saturday morning with us here on Saturday Morning Coffee.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure. You know, by the way, your predecessor was on the show quite a few times. So we've talked about Palmetto Promise many times, different things that y'all work on. And we really appreciate the work that y'all do at Palmetto Promise. It's a great organization, and we encourage everybody to support it. You can find them online at palmettopromise.org. So thanks for all y'all do. Just before the break, we were talking about education savings account. One question I wanted to ask you, Wendy, there was a lawsuit that was filed almost immediately when the bill was passed last year. Do you want to chat about that a minute? Who's challenging the statute? What's the status of that? Do you have any updates?
Sure, yes. Of course, we expected it. We've seen this happen in other states. Here in South Carolina, we have something called the Blaine Amendment, which was actually put into the South Carolina Constitution in 1895 to say that there can be no direct or indirect funding from the state to a private school. But back in 1972, the wording indirect was removed from that from the Constitution, and so from there we started getting scholarships for private schooling at the college level in 1973 through tuition grants, and then we have it now at the preschool level also through a program called First Step that started in 1999. So we already have state money going to private institutions. And so our argument is that it's already constitutional at the other levels, and so it should also be constitutional at the K-12 level. So just to take a step back, the people that are suing it are the NEA and the NAACP, and not South Carolina. It's the national groups that are suing the program. And you know, that's really to be expected, but also very sad, because as we've gone through when we've registered folks for this program, we have some statistics that are incredible. We have a decisive majority of students, applicants self-identify as racial minorities. We have 602 applicants from military families. We have 3,500 applicants from English language learners. We have 5,900 applicants that were Medicaid recipients. And we have families from all 46 South Carolina counties that have applied for this program. And so I don't know why they have a particular objection to helping these low-income families and these minority families that, I mean, obviously they're not happy and satisfied with the situation they're in. They're looking for a change for their student, but
sure.
they want to step in and say, no, you're not allowed to do that. You must stay in the school you are assigned to.
Yes, you must stay in this underperforming school that's not educating your child that you're trapped in, basically.
Correct. And schools that, by the way, are ranked poor performing year after year after year, and they just say, well, we need more money, and we put more money and more money and more money, and they never improve, and there's absolutely no accountability. The only way to have accountability is to let parents vote with their dollars.
That's,
you know, in a free market system, that's the way it works, right? And
yeah.
that's what we found works best. And so we submitted our amicus brief to the lawsuit, and oral arguments took place the first week of March, and we are still awaiting the decision. This is the South Carolina Supreme Court, or we are awaiting that decision, but we feel good about it. We feel that our arguments are constitutionally sound, and so we look forward to hearing from them on their decision.
Yeah. When all else fails, in my experience, people will vote with their dollars, and when that fails, they'll vote with their feet. And
yes,
you know.
and they think these are their dollars. These are taxpayer dollars meant to educate, designated to educate these children. So they're not, you know, it's not when people say, oh, well, you know, they should pay for private school with their own money. Well, this is their money.
Yeah.
So anyways, I get a little worked up.
Because, yeah, no, it's absolute truth. We gave you a ding. We gave you another one for that one because it's absolutely true. And what's so frustrating when you see groups like the NAACP oppose these types of school choice bills, many of these schools where kids are literally trapped are schools where the either majority minority or large minority, ethnic minority populations. And so
Absolutely.
you would think that the NAACP would be all on board with opening these schools up and giving these kids options and education choice. I believe education choice is the civil rights issue of our time. And to see them oppose it, you just sort of scratch your head.
I agree 100%.
So we've got that bill. But there was a couple of things you said when describing the legislation. What's the logic in excluding homeschoolers? Why should homeschoolers not be allowed to participate in this program?
Well, that's a great question. We have had some homeschoolers that have come to the Capitol that have said, you know, we don't want to participate in this program because they're concerned, maybe rightly so, that if they participate in the program, that the government will tell them how to teach their children or what to teach their children.
Sure.
Now, the law is written in such a way that it clearly states that that is not the case. But some of the loudest voices are not trusting of that. But in this process where we've been registering families, we've heard from a lot of homeschoolers, many who maybe aren't as politically connected or politically active, but are saying, but we actually do want to participate. And so, you know, my answer to those homeschoolers who don't want to participate is, you know, no one will force you to take the money. No one will force you
Sure.
to apply for the program. And if we look and see in other states that allow homeschoolers to participate, we have seen that there has not been encroachment in what they teach.
Yeah.
So we're not concerned about that. And there are a lot of homeschoolers that would really love to be able to access these funds. And so in this new version of the bill, H5164, that was filed, homeschoolers are allowed to participate in the program, which is really exciting, among other really great improvements that are in this new bill that has passed the House.
Yeah. Well, clearly the current program, and I get the income limits for now, given the numbers that we're talking about, but clearly the program at the moment appears to be, like we were talking earlier, sort of a test bed, sort of an experiment. And clearly if we're going to really do this and give South Carolinians all across the state true choice, we're going to need to expand beyond the 15,000 limit.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, if we want the maximum number of schools to come in, if we want schools to expand their facilities, if we want the maximum number of choice, we have to take the uncertainty out of this, and we have to expand it, because for 15,000 children, 15,000 slots out of 800,000 school children in South Carolina, we're not going to see those schools popping up, especially in the rural areas where we desperately need these schools.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as I drive through any small town in South Carolina, there may be only one thing, and that is a church building. And in that church building, there are classrooms that sit empty all week. And if the money is there, a K through five school might be able, a little K through five school might be able to start up in that school building. And then as they see the demand growing, and then they can expand. And over time, as we know how the free market works, when the money is there, you know, the demand and supply will eventually come to match each other. But there has to be more than 15,000 slots available to see that actually happen.
Absolutely.
And we have to take away the uncertainty. This bill that we have here is basically for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it's kind of like, okay, well, you know, we'll kind of keep it at 15,000 and we'll keep it as is. But then we'll just kind of review it and all this. Well, that's great. But if you're looking to spend millions of dollars to build a school,
you need a little more certainty.
That type of uncertainty,
yeah,
it will scare you away from doing it. And also, if you're a parent, you may not want to go through the process of changing your child to a new school if you feel that the
program might go away, yeah,
cease to exist, and you,
yeah,
have to just pull your child and put them back in their first school. I mean, that's traumatizing. So,
yeah. So Wendy, if folks want to support this bill, what can folks do to help move this process along?
Oh yes, absolutely. So one more thing I want to tell you about the new bill, why it's so important.
We got about 45 seconds before.
Oh, sure. It removes this little window of January 15th to March 15th and basically says you can apply until the slots are filled. So that's great.
Oh, good.
It,
yeah,
does a lot of other things to smooth out the process for both the parents and the schools. And we need our senators to take up this bill. They're sitting on it right now. It's H5164, Universal ESA bill.
Mm-hmm.
Contact your state senator. Let them know you want this done now.
Yep. Well, Wendy, we encourage folks to follow you guys at palmettopromise.org. Support the work that Palmetto Promise is doing. Thank you so much for all that y'all have done and continue to do. Keep up the great work. And listen, please come back anytime, okay?
Happy to. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, folks. It's Wendy Dameron. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors with more Saturday Morning Coffee. I'm Reese Boyd. Don't leave town. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Saturday Morning Coffee. Little Mandisa for you on your Saturday Morning Coffee. This morning, sad to say that we've lost Mandisa. I was very, very shocked and saddened last week to hear news of her passing. Want to send our prayers out to her family and friends. What a loss. What a amazing talent she was. And what an encourager to so many people. How many times did people wake up to that song or get in the car and blow that song Overcomer, blow out the subwoofer playing Overcomer? What an amazing individual, and she'll be missed. So sorry to see that news. Very sorry to see that news, and our prayers go out to the family and friends. So sad news on that front, but she, no doubt, where she is, Lou, she's in a better place. So
yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, so. All right. I want to thank Wendy Dameron for being on the show with us this morning. Fascinating discussion of education scholarship accounts, and glad to see the state making progress. It's frustrating. I didn't get a chance to talk to Wendy Lou about this, but it's frustrating to see South Carolina always seemingly, South Carolina supposedly is such a conservative, solidly red state. But when you really drill down into it, it's not as red as some would lead you to believe. And we're oftentimes sort of dragging up the rear on issues like this, like school choice and freedom of choice in education, just on freedom index issues generally. We're often in the back of the red bus, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're in the red bus. I don't think anybody would, we're not a blue state, but we're not as red as people would think. And so that's frustrating. So I'm thankful that there are organizations like Palmetto Promise, working these issues, working the legislature, trying to get things done in Colombia to stand up for freedom, to stand up for individual liberty, personal responsibility, but personal choice, and so thankful for the work that they do. Encourage you guys to check out Palmetto Promise online. Follow them, support them financially if you can, if you have the resources. Would love to see y'all do that, and so encourage you to look into that. Folks, we made it to the parting wisdom segment of Saturday Morning Coffee. I don't know. I'll try to cram a little parting wisdom into the time we have left. Lou, so many things that we wanted to talk about that we haven't quite gotten to yet. Wanted to talk a little bit about the speaker and what's been going on with Speaker Johnson. I'm just so disappointed, Lou, with what I see happening. And, you know, when Mike Johnson was ascended to the speakership, obviously there'd been quite a bit of turmoil. It took, 27 ballots to get him elected. And many of us were just very excited over the prospect of a Mike Johnson speakership. I didn't really know much about Speaker Johnson until he ascended to the speakership. And I was like, who is this guy? And I started doing my homework, doing my due diligence, looking into his background. And I thought, wow, this guy's all right. He's going to be, this is a true believer. But now I have to wonder, what is he really? I don't know. And, you know, here's my concern. Tucker, hat tip to Tucker Carlson, tweeted these items out not that long ago, last week, maybe the week before. But, you know, he pointed out one thing that Speaker Johnson in his fundraising, and by the way, I often get these fun, I'm sure if you're involved in politics, our listeners are politically active, I'm sure that you get multiple texts every week, sometimes every day, from these fundraising arms of the party, from various organizations, various super PACs sending you text, and Trump wants to put your name on his cake and wants you to stand beside him at the next dinner. So many of those organizations, Lou, I do not support them because so much of the money gets skimmed off before it gets to the candidate that you want to support. I do not give through these organizations. And by the way, I've had many people call me and ask me to get them the direct address for the campaign of Donald Trump in Mar-a-Lago, which I've given to many people. So they could mail their check directly to the campaign in Mar-a-Lago, to the campaign office. But one of the organizations you'll see send out these emails, WinRed. I got an email from WinRed, and this was from the speaker. Tucker Carlson pointed this out. Tucker said, there aren't many political fundraising pitches more corrupt and harmful than this one, which I was shocked to hear him speak so dramatically about it. But he said it was actually a text from the sent on behalf of Speaker Johnson. But of course, he approved it. He's seen it. He probably, you know, had a hand in writing it. He said, I serve an audience of one. God is my judge. It's Speaker Mike Johnson. Learn more about my mission to glorify him. And there was another attachment that came out from also, I think, through WinRed. Yeah, it's winred.com. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, when I heard that about for the first time, he was called the speaker. It was a surreal experience. And then he goes on to say, you see, I work from before dawn till after dusk for an audience of one, our Creator, my Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't object to those words. I believe in everything I've heard him say, Lou. That's why I was so excited about the speakership of Mike Johnson. But when you say things like that, when you market yourself, when you wear your faith on your shirt sleeves and make that what you are about, you are going to be held to a higher standard. And you should be. And I am extremely disappointed. Speaker Johnson was all full of, you know what, and vinegar, big talk, talking about how if we got a deal done for Ukraine, we were going to secure the border. There was going to be border security. There was a lot of talk on the FISA renewal. You know, we heard about when the FISA renewal first came through a few months back, and they said, oh, well, it'll come up again in April. And so so we don't really have to worry about the fact that we got our rear ends handed to us now. It'll come. Speaker Fry, Russell Fry said this. He said, you know, it's coming. I'm disappointed, but it's coming back up again in April, so we'll get another chance. And they caved. Lou, they caved. I've got a clip somewhere. Unfortunately, I don't have it handy right at the moment. But Speaker Johnson said, you know, they bring me into the skiff, these FBI representatives, the intelligence folks, bring congressmen, bring the committee members into the skiff, the secure facility for hearing confidential information. You go in there, and they tell you what they're doing, and we got no choice. We got to renew FISA. And I'm like, wait a minute. How do we continually keep getting beat on these issues and we kick the can down the road? Well, it'll come up again in April or it'll come up again in November. And we always seem to be on the side. We lose the battle with the tyrannical forces within our government, Lou. And it's like, wait a minute. When are you guys going to stand up for the Constitution? You can't basically want to remind y'all, FISA is a uniparty. It's a unilateral proceeding in a court where there aren't two sides. It's just one side. And it's searching without a warrant. And here's the thing. If they can go into the SCIF and hear something that justifies the renewing the FISA process, they should go ahead. Give me one example, Luke. Just give me one example where if the federal government had been forced to go get a warrant and they saved the country because they were able to do warrantless searches. Just give me an example. Give me one example. And if that is so prevalent and that is such a compelling argument, then let's do away with the Fourth Amendment. I mean, one or the other. Let's don't have a Fourth Amendment that says the government can't search you without a warrant and then pretend that it doesn't exist because of these national security concerns that only the people who get to go in the SCIF can know about. You see, it's either we have the Fourth Amendment or we don't. That's a huge, huge disappointment. The vote on Ukraine, huge disappointment. We were going to have border security and we don't. And so I'm just hugely disappointed. The one thing I will say, though, on the Speaker Johnson issue, I don't think we need to do anything until we have an alternative. Who's going to step into the gap? Who's going to be the substitute speaker? I don't have a good suggestion for that, and I haven't heard one. I don't know. It's extremely frustrating when we have situations like that, and you know, we just always seem to be on the losing side of these issues, and we've got to do better. We've got to do better. We've got to elect people with a spine who will stand up for freedom, and they won't be able to be dragged into the SCIF and told something where they sell us all down the river. It's just, you know, we got to do better. We got to do better. So, folks, let me leave you with this bit of wisdom from the Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. That's Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Y'all have a great week. Be blessed, and we'll see you next week for more Saturday Morning Coffee.
Thanks for waking up with Saturday Morning Coffee, the Reese Boyd Radio Hour on Talk 94.5.